I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. And I know many of you have been waiting patiently through all the crap today to hear what's really going on. First, I have an order from the Commanding General of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. All militias are to remain on full alert. Militia commanders are to maintain discipline of their units. Every unit is to protect their leadership, and under no circumstances are you to allow the militia to be broken as a result of the propaganda campaign being waged against the legitimate, legal militia of the several states and of the United States of America. I was right, ladies and gentlemen, in a bullet poll conducted by KTBS TV Channel 3, Shreveport, Louisiana, and reported on 20 April 1995, the following question was asked. Would you be willing to give up some of your freedom for a little security? In the categories none, some, most, all, or undecided. 74% of the respondents fell into the category bracketed by some, most, or all. This means, ladies and gentlemen, that of those polled and responding, 74% view their freedom as a negotiable instrument to be traded for a small amount of security, ostensibly to be needed by our flawed, Marxist-controlled federal government. Don't go away. You're going to hear the truth. The only truth that you've heard all day long, you're going to hear in just a moment. You listen very carefully all the way through this broadcast and all the way through the closing musical selection. Every word, every bar of music tonight is extremely important.
Dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine, is the momentous issue of civil war. You can have no conflict without being yourselves the aggressor. You have no oath registered in heaven to destroy the government, while I shall have the most solemn one to preserve, protect, and defend it. We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strength, it must not break our bonds of affection.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as I predicted, today the attacks began. The great herd of sheeple out there have fallen directly into the dialectic. It is working exactly as it was planned. Hegel, if he were here, would be smiling from ear to ear. That much is certain. From our station chief, this morning around 10 a.m., two press conferences were held simultaneously. We have information from both of them. One meeting was held by FBI on-site director Weldon Kennedy. He stated that the man who was stopped at Heathrow Airport is being questioned and has been completely cooperative, and as I stated last night, is not a suspect. He reaffirmed that this man is not a suspect, but it is an alleged witness. He made no mention at all of the other three men who were arrested, nor did the press ask any questions about them. Kennedy stated that the FBI recovered film from a surveillance camera located atop a nearby building, which may or may not contain any pictorial record of the vehicle, which may have contained explosives. He said the film has been damaged. Well, what did you expect? Really, what did you expect? Of course the film was damaged. It might show something. And the experts are doing their best to enhance what images do exist on the film. And when any info is available, in this matter, we'll all be notified. Don't hold your breath. Don't even hold your breath. Bomb forensic experts on the scene have been collecting evidence. Platinum wires, bits of plastic were the only two items Kennedy specifically mentioned. The same items that were mentioned on the first day as having been stored in the office of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, along with a rocket launcher. The actual type and size of the bomb is still not known. Kennedy is still estimating that it was several thousand pounds of explosive materials. The experts are attempting to determine the type of accelerants used, and we know exactly what it was. Ladies and gentlemen, it was fulminate of mercury. Fulminate of mercury. Several cans of it did not detonate and were found intact near the elevator shaft. This information comes directly from a high-ranking official on the scene. The second press conference was held by the medical examiner. He stated that at 10 a.m., the official death count was 57. Since then, we know that it has risen to 60. 36 of those bodies were removed from the sealed perimeter area of the explosion, and only 21 of them actually have come from the building wreckage itself. He stated that it has been very difficult to actually determine a death count because so many body parts are being brought out of the wreckage. The medical workers attempt to match those body parts with other portions of bodies which are in storage, and from that reach a number of deceased. The bodies and parts, once removed from the debris, are taken to a medical examination preliminary holding area. They've stopped calling it the temporary morgue. A part of this holding area is comprised of several refrigerator trucks which are used to store these parts to prevent further deterioration. When an actual complete body is recovered, it is taken to the medical examiner's working area, which has been set up in a local church building nearby. There are over 100 persons working in this area, including forensic pathologists, x-ray technicians, dental examiners, radiologists, and representatives from the FBI Fingerprint Records Division. Upon arriving at the church examination area, each body is first taken to the initial examination room, where items of clothing are removed and personal effects, if any, are collected. It has been stated that the injuries of the bodies examined so far have been consistent with blast injuries, and the bodies exhibit extreme trauma of one sort that you might expect from flying concrete, glass shards, falling steel beams, collapsing ceilings, falling and flying office equipment of all kinds, etc. The medical examiner stated that the most difficult body identifications are, of course, the children. Most of the children have no fingerprints on file anywhere, had not been living long enough to accumulate any significant medical records, and many had not yet acquired any dental records. Look for a law to be passed mandating that your children be fingerprinted shortly after birth. Some footprints taken at birth have been provided, but this seems to be the only immediate clue the examiner's office has for any of the identification of the children's bodies. At this time, only one child has been positively identified, a one-year-old. The medical examiner stressed that at this time, no matter what the press may be saying or may have reported, only five actual names of victims have been officially released. He said if you didn't get your identification of victims' information from him personally, and he holds two press conferences daily, then the information cannot be considered accurate. He stated that when identifications are positively made, the manner of death recorded on the death certificate is homicide. When a body examination is completed, whether or not an identification can be made, the body is then returned to the refrigerator trucks for storage. FEMA is sending in additional equipment and personnel to assist the medical examiner and his people. Primarily needed has been self-contained examination equipment, which the branches of the military's medical departments are providing. At this moment, the medical examiner has approximately 100 bodies and or body parts which are being examined and for which identifications are being attempted. He stressed that until the examinations determine that the body parts actually comprise a single individual, no number is added to the official death count. At this time, traffic into, out of, and around the sealed perimeter has increased threefold from what it was on Wednesday and Thursday. Almost all cars are driving with headlights on as an indication of mourning. It has been announced on radio that shortly after the explosion, an unnamed employee of Eck Road Feed Company, which is located on Martin Luther King Boulevard, contacted investigating officials and said that he remembered selling a large amount of ammonium nitrate fertilizer to several men of Middle Eastern appearance. It was a lie. Today it was announced that the feed company owner carefully examined all of the company's invoices for the last 4 months and no such sale was made to anyone in that period of time. When large amounts of this fertilizer are sold to farms and agricultural companies, there is a record kept for the federal government of the purchase and the purchaser. It was also announced that the type of fertilizer which this company has sold recently is not the type which would be used in an explosive. No further mention was made of the employee who called in the erroneous report, and he has not been identified. It was also not revealed whether or not that employee still held his job. In fact, we don't even know that it was really an employee of that company. Also at this time, rescue workers on the scene are in what is being called a wicker basket, being lifted by a crane. And they've been searching parts of the eighth floor of the federal building, working downward. At last check, I believe that they were working downward from the third floor. The wind in the area has increased, and it was stated that the search may have to be temporarily halted or suspended because of the danger of falling debris from the upper stories of the building. And throughout the day, there have been occasional pauses in the rescue work because of this danger. As of 12:35 p.m., workers were taken from the face of the building and are now working again in the basement area. The danger of falling office equipment and debris from the upper stories onto the rescue workers brought this about by the high winds and caused this move. Rescue workers have located several pockets in the wreckage containing bodies. No estimated number has been released and no bodies have yet been removed from those pockets. Simultaneously with all of the rescue work, local businesses and individuals have poured donations of all kinds into the area. Southwestern Bell Pioneer Community Group has established 4 supply drop-off points and are requesting specifically men's clothing and personal toiletry items because almost all of the rescue workers, when called to the scene, dropped everything they were doing and arrived with nothing more, ladies and gentlemen, than the clothes on their back. Urgent calls have been made for men's underclothing, shaving kits, toothbrushes, shirts, socks, shoes, coats, etc. Also needed is food, water, paper products, and medical supplies. Donations are also being taken by the Salvation Army, the Feed the Children organization, the Disaster Relief Organization of the B'nai B'rith, and all of the local churches. The Guardian Funeral Home is donating funeral services for the children killed in the explosion. The Flowers by Pat Floral Company is donating flowers and taking cash donations for the funeral services of the other victims. A company in Edmond, Oklahoma has donated many sets of doggy boots, which are flexible but impenetrable boots to be worn by the bomb dogs being worked on the scene because the dogs are having tremendous difficulties walking over the debris. The same company also donated huge amounts of dog food for the working dogs. The Fort Howard Paper Company plant in Muskogee, Oklahoma, has donated a semi-truckload of paper products, napkins, towels, bathroom tissue, etc., all of which are badly needed by the rescue workers, the security personnel, and the workers in the medical examiner's area. Oklahoma Bank, Boatman's Bank, and the Bank of Oklahoma have all established victims' disaster relief funds to assist the surviving family members in whatever way may be necessary. Persons and companies with donated goods which have been specifically requested from the security personnel and rescue workers are being told to take them to the supply drop-off area located at 8th and Harvey. A colonel with the Oklahoma Army National Guard was interviewed today on radio because the presence of uniformed military personnel at the First Christian Church upset the citizens. The colonel stated that the state military reserve organizations have been posted in two places to do two specific jobs. Primarily, they are being used to secure the perimeter of the crime scene, and their secondary function is to work at the First Christian Church in support of the Red Cross and the Oklahoma City Police Department, directing traffic in the parking lot, which is at times an overwhelming task, and to act as escorts for the grieving family members who have been arriving nonstop at the church since the explosion. At this time, there are over 500 family members at the church giving information, waiting for announcements, and trying to help each other as best they can. It was announced today on radio that Peter Jennings had made remarks about civilian militia and the possibility that this bombing might have been caused by a local group rather than an international terrorist group, and then it began. Exactly as I predicted, it turned and shifted and aimed directly at the militia of the several states and of the United States. At 12:45 p.m., John Belmont of ABC News made this official statement. This is a direct quote transcribed from a tape made from the radio. Quote, sources say things are happening very fast now in the investigation. We earlier reported this now looks more like a domestic case than international terrorism. John Belmont reports the investigation is focusing on government-hating groups. He provides some background information. John Belmont then says this. And the report cuts in the middle of a sentence. Quote, in the groups, particularly in light of a newsletter sent out by the Montana militia in March, signaling April 19th, the day of the bombing, as an extremely important day. Not only was it the second anniversary of what happened at Waco, it was also the date set for the execution of a white extremist in Arkansas, who in fact was executed. He had been convicted of killing a Jewish businessman and a black policeman and showed no remorse. And according to authorities, that has been, there was a skip in the broadcast at that point, it picks up at now and looking at a possible motive for the bombing, end quote. At 1 p.m., it was announced that a raid was being made in Decker, Michigan, in connection with the bombing in Oklahoma City and a civilian militia group there. While the local radio broadcaster was waiting for the signal from ABC News to begin, the Belmont report, he remarked that it might be important to look into the issue of civilian militias because they have been cropping up all over the state. He then specifically mentioned Moore, Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma, and Eufaula, Oklahoma, as places where civilian militia were known to exist. He also made mention of the fact that Richard Wayne Snell, the man executed in Arkansas, had been arrested in Oklahoma prior to being taken to Arkansas for trial, and the insanity has continued all day long. When discussing the sketches of possible suspects, which have been published in all the papers and flashed on television screens everywhere, the KTOK broadcaster made mention there is some kind of bad blood between the FBI and the CIA, combined with some claimed but unsubstantiated name-calling between the two groups. The broadcaster said that a rumor is now floating that much dissension is igniting between the two organizations because allegedly one group knew about activities leading to the explosion in advance of the event and did not tell the other organization. That's absolutely correct, folks. The Central Intelligence Agency is the one that blew up the building. The broadcaster did not specify which organization might have had the advanced information, nor did he tell us the names of anyone who might have made the rumored remarks, and at this time, no further elaboration on the subject has been made. At 1:15 p.m., official ABC News release states that the bombing is now officially related to the Waco massacre. And our station chief here inserts a personal remark. Bill, things are moving very, very fast all of a sudden here. I'm going to have to leave the house and get on up to Oklahoma City. When all this stuff began happening, I had run back to the house to send this fax. So I'll just have to contact you later, regardless of what news releases may be made, because I'm going to be away from the computer for several hours. I need an assistant here. Help. A dependable one. Dave is out on assignment in the Oklahoma University campus area and will not be back here for some time. And I give you these remarks, folks, so that you'll know that these people are human just like you. As you might expect, most of the militia-related remarks in connection with this bombing are being made by national news agencies, not the local ones. Until ABC brought this matter into the mix, no one in Oklahoma after those first remarks from day one, had made any comments about militia, and until the national news convinced the local radio people that what is being said is plausible, they are hesitant to badmouth any patriotic organization. And because patriotism is still admired and encouraged in Oklahoma, the only way the national rumor mongers are going to be able to promote the militia involvement rumor is by simultaneously tying it to a racist group, and you heard that all day long. White supremacist, religious fundamentalist, constitutionist, patriot groups, government haters. The truth is, even in the backwoods hick country of Oklahoma, investigators are not likely to find too many groups which are both racist and patriotic at the same time. And folks, in my investigations, in this entire nation, there are probably 500 total white supremacists. Period. You can be certain that whoever is arrested will be first proclaimed a racist, and later a militia connection will be fabricated. Here is the report from Dave, the report of two seismological events consistent with large explosions on the morning of April 19, 1995, is confirmed. At 1:20 p.m. today, 4/21/95, I spoke with Dr. Luza of the Oklahoma Geological Survey, which is located in the Sarkey Energy Building at the University of Oklahoma campus. Dr. Luza showed me the seismograph recordings made on that morning showing two separate seismological disturbances, the first occurring at 9:02:04 a.m. and the second occurring at 9:02:14 a.m. He said the two events were approximately 10 seconds apart, give or take a few milliseconds. He showed me charts that illustrated what a train looks like on a seismograph, also what heavy traffic on the freeway would look like, and then he gave me a copy of the seismograph readings, which we have here in our possession at the research center. The two events are approximately the same in magnitude, and the peaks and the spaces between the peaks are consistent with what Dr. Luza said they refer to as a quarry blast. Dr. Luza said he could not confirm the actual location of the seismological events from the graphic record, except that both events were in the Oklahoma City area. At that time in the morning, the only blast that occurred in Oklahoma City occurred in the federal building, and there were two distinct, separate explosions. The people who worked at the seismographic lab stated unequivocally that they didn't care what the government said, that these were, without any doubt, two separate explosions of approximately the same magnitude. He stated that there have been no reports as to where the second event may have occurred that are consistent with what the government has reported as a single blast. As far as the actual seismographic record is concerned, there were definitely two events, and they both took place in Oklahoma City within 10 seconds of each other. Dr. Luther stated that the Oklahoma Geological Survey has sensors placed all over the state, and the time between when the first sensors record an event and the time the event arrives at their headquarters allows them to determine the approximate location of the event. Dr. Luza's secretary stated that ABC News representatives were in their offices this morning. Four or five different newspapers have also asked similar questions to Dave's. However, they got the same answers that we got, ladies and gentlemen, and yet they reported entirely different information, which should tell you that the press ain't playing with a full deck. In fact, they're intentionally lying. I've had reporters calling me all day long from newspapers and from television stations, and my answer to each and every single one of them when they request an interview is the same. Listen to my broadcast and go yourself. And it will continue to be my answer. There are no journalists in this country who have the guts to report the truth. They are engaged, in fact, in treason. Here's another report from Dave. I've been out talking to people all day in the Norman area. All of them have been local business owners in the University of Oklahoma campus area. There's a very high vigilante sentiment prevalent in the people to whom I spoke. People are rejoicing over the fact that the alleged perpetrators have been caught and have described to me various ways in which they should be punished and executed. One woman said, "I'm against the death penalty, but I think they deserve cruel and unusual punishment." Never mind, they have not been brought to trial, nor have they been convicted of anything, nor has it been proven that any of them are members of any militia, and I can assure you they are not. We've been trying to get confirmation from KTOK Radio about the reports made on Wednesday pertaining to the explosives and plastic found in the debris of the building, which was said to have been kept in the offices of the BATF. Several people in the Oklahoma City area reported that information to the research center here. Two of them knew each other, four others did not. They all heard the same report. That initial report was later followed by the announcement that a rocket launcher had been found in the rubble, also from the BATF office. At this time, we've talked to one representative at KTOK, and all of those Wednesday remarks are being denied. It is being said that the reports were never made and that we must surely be mistaken. And ladies and gentlemen, we are absolutely not mistaken. Those reports were made. KTOK is now lying, covering up. We don't know who told them to cover up. We don't know if they were threatened. We don't know what happened. But they are now denying reports that they clearly made on Wednesday. Earlier this afternoon, shortly before 2 p.m., the search and rescue work was stopped while all workers were moved back a safe distance from the federal building. Nothing more was said about why that occurred until 5:15 p.m., when it was reported that glass panels from the ninth floor were in danger of falling on the workers. Additionally, the stability of the east wall of the building was brought into question. The work was resumed within an hour of the announcement of the work stop, and nothing has changed in regard to the stability of the east wall. Workers did go up to the ninth floor and break the glass panels, allowing the glass to fall onto the piles of debris below. Agents of the FBI, the ATF, and officers from the Oklahoma City Police Department have been scouring the rooftops of all surrounding buildings. This extensive roof search began immediately after the workers were moved back from the federal building. It has not been announced what is being sought, and no reasons have been given for any investigation into any other building. The perimeter of the sealed and secured crime scene has been greatly enlarged. The boundaries are now Klassen Boulevard on the west, 10th Street on the north, Oklahoma Street on the east. We did not catch the name of the south boundary. If it has not changed, it is still Robert S. Kerr Boulevard. We'll get this information probably to you Monday. That's the soonest we can get it since we don't broadcast over the weekend. No reason has been given for this change of perimeter. It has been announced that the number of Oklahoma National Guard troops on duty in the security area will be doubled this weekend. Why? What is going on here? They are going to double the Oklahoma National Guard troops on duty this weekend. Additionally, we found out there are mounted police on duty in the crime scene area and additional MPs from the 745th Military Police Company will be brought in this weekend as a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. One pool radio announcer will be allowed inside the sealed perimeter, nobody else. And one pool television cameraman. In an interview with Oklahoma City Attorney Tony Lacey, it was learned that one of the arrested suspects, 27-year-old Timothy McVeigh, is going to be transported to Tinker Air Force Base and will be arraigned before a federal magistrate at that location. Lacey could only speculate about why the suspect would not be arraigned at a state government location. He supposed that the condition of the courthouse behind the federal building was the reason for the Tinker substitution. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. The federal government doesn't want to take any chances at losing jurisdiction, which means they will arraign him with a federal judge, federal magistrate, on federal property, and the state will have no claim on the suspects. That is the truth. Lacey also stated that he did not think that McVeigh would be incarcerated at Tinker, but would be moved to the new federal transfer center located near the Will Rogers International Airport on the southwest side of Oklahoma City. Because the center had officially opened last month, right in time. Isn't that convenient? Right on time. It has extraordinarily secure isolation cells. Wesley said that it would probably be necessary to isolate McVeigh to protect him from the public and from other prisoners who might decide to kill him. Why? Nobody knows if he's even done anything yet. The body count now stands officially at 65 at this hour, of which only 13 have been positively identified, two of them children. The medical examiner has dispatched off. Their bodies. Don't go away. I'll be right back. There's a lot more to follow. Tonight's broadcast. Some of you may recognize that phrase. For those of you who do not, you'll recognize it before this broadcast is over, I can assure you. The world will little note nor long remember. An axle from a one-ton truck has been found one block from the federal building and is believed to be the axle from the vehicle used in the explosion. We do not recall hearing any official statement that the investigation has definitely determined that a vehicle bomb had been used in this incident. Things are happening out of order. And it is becoming increasingly difficult to make sense of some of the reports. Many things that we are hearing contradict direct testimony of eyewitnesses and persons who managed to escape from the building unharmed. Some official reports almost sound like they are talking about some other event rather than this one. Reporters at the scene with binoculars and telephoto lenses on their cameras are making reports about what they are actually observing, but official spokespersons either never address those matters or deny that the report was accurate. We tend to trust the actual eyes and ears of local people on the scene, so things are becoming increasingly confusing from an information standpoint. And the national news media are making many erroneous and blatantly false reports. CNN announced today the three arrests related to the bombing in Oklahoma City. Two of them are the Nichols brothers from Michigan. Their house has been surrounded with black-clad law enforcement officials with FBI shields. They are said to be members of a radical paramilitary organization called the Militia of Michigan. Oh, boy. We knew this was going to happen. All of the above is continuing right now and all day and on into the night. CNN will be milking all it can from the whole radical militia movement material. It began on ABC early this morning. Peter Jennings was the first one. They talk about how militias are anti-gun control, anti-foreigners, white supremacists, etc., anti-Semitic, religious fundamentalists. They are really going after it. This is a definite development in their agenda of vilifying the patriots and the militias across the country. This is it, the beginning of the attack. I've told you all along that the militia of Montana and others are agent provocateurs. They would fuel the flames and provide the ammunition that would be used against the legitimate militias across this nation. And I was absolutely correct. They are reading Militia of Montana material and all the other BS that some militias deal with, such as racism. Watch this carefully. It is absolutely needless for me to say, but this is very, very serious. There was a poll conducted, ladies and gentlemen. Which government do you trust to handle running things? State, 69%, federal, 27%. Fighting crime, state, 71%, federal, 26%. Setting rules on welfare eligibility, state, 69%, federal, 27%. Workplace safety, state, 55%, federal, 42%. I'm not going to read the rest because the federal government lost on every count. The American people have lost faith in the federal government, and as the federal government continues to lie to the American people, they will continue to lose faith. On May 17, 1994, the state of Oklahoma, ladies and gentlemen, in their legislature passed H.R. 1047. H.R. 1047 made Oklahoma the very first state in the United States to actually go on record as opposing the approaching New World Order. It called for the United States not to lend military personnel to support the United Nations and many other things. Want to know why it happened in Oklahoma City? Reuters, for the second time in 2 years, assailants using a rented truck to transport a massive bomb have killed innocent people, injured thousands, and thrown an American city into panic. Listen to this, and they have, for the second time, shown just how vulnerable the United States, with its traditions of an open society and freedom, even to buy a gun, can be for anyone committed to an act of violence. The destruction of the Albert Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City sends the same chilling message that the bombers of New York City's World Trade Center did in 1993. No one is safe anywhere. What did I tell you? I'm right. I've studied these socialist pukes for years, and I'm right on the target. I'm the only one who has consistently and with absolute accuracy predicted every step that they're going to take. Listen to this. Anti-terrorism bill now on fast track. On Tuesday, the Omnibus Counterterrorism Act of 1995 was a proposal on a low track in Congress and the object of a lively debate as to whether it would violate some fundamental civil liberties, including the right to confront one's accuser. Now, after the Oklahoma City bombing, there are few sure legislative bets in Washington. Democrats and Republicans issue a blizzard of news releases Thursday calling for the bill's quick passage. The gutless wonders are at it again. American law enforcement agencies expanding overseas. FBI will open International Police Training Academy in Budapest next week. No new world order, no world government. Stick it in your ear. Many gangs of extremists active in the United States. FBI director says these terrorist groups pose a significant threat. The demonization of patriots, lovers of liberty, those who would support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and of their states are being branded terrorists. He said, among other things, American militia groups are right-wing religious extremist groups, and often their members are angry at the federal government. A number of groups are well-armed, with members who are trained in the use of explosives. What is that supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean the militia did it. It's supposed to mean the militia are the enemy. It's supposed to mean patriots are bad guys. What did I tell you? Clinton tightens security, saying, "We are working very hard to strengthen the ability of the United States to resist acts of terror." President Clinton ordered far more stringent security measures to be put in place at all federal buildings in Washington. In the last 2 days, bomb threats have been made in 7 other cities. More than that, folks, as you will find out. He called for the passage of the anti-terrorism bill. Representative Charles Schumer, another Marxist socialist puke, says the chief sponsor of Clinton's bill expects that this bill will move like lightning through Congress, and if it does, liberty in this country is history. It's history anyway if you don't wake up. Washington, U.S. Capitol Police took extra security precautions at the Capitol building. Dallas, a federal office building in Fort Worth, was reported to be evacuated Wednesday as a precaution following the devastating explosion in Oklahoma City. Other federal office buildings around the country were reportedly under heightened security. Casper, Wyoming, the federal courthouse in Casper was evacuated Wednesday after a bomb threat was called in, but no explosive device was found. The threat was one of many to federal facilities. Phoned-in bomb threats forced temporary evacuations of federal office buildings in several cities, including Boston, Miami, Santa Ana, California, Birmingham, Alabama, Wilmington, Delaware, Portland, Oregon, Boise, Idaho, and Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas. A bomb scare also forced the evacuation of Boston's City Hall. What did they do? Let all the inmates out of the nut house? Not on your life. This is all planned to terrorize the American people. To give up the Bill of Rights, to force us into a socialist, totalitarian, one-world government under the United Nations. It is coming. I have warned you about this. I predicted exactly these things would happen, and I am 100% right. It's the Reichstag all over again. In Germany, Hitler had opposition. The Nazi Party had opposition. They were not going to take control of Germany. Hitler sent his brown shirts out to create a crime wave. They did. The people called for relief and control and were willing to give up their freedom for protection and security. As one last measure to destroy his political opposition, Hitler burned the Reichstag, which is equivalent to the United States Congress. He burned the Reichstag. He then named his political enemies as the conspirators who burned it and destroyed his opposition in one night. Oklahoma City is America's Reichstag. In New York, police briefly evacuated the International Arrivals Terminal at New York's John F. Kennedy Airport Thursday to examine suspicious items of luggage. Vatican City. Vatican City. Even the Pope has to get in on this. Citing poison gas attacks on the Tokyo and Yokohama railway systems in Japan in the past month, it said terrorism for political and other motives was striking everywhere. There are no more limits to the ferocity, to the homicidal madness, to the will of extremist groups to perpetuate indiscriminate massacres. Nobody can feel safe anymore in any part of the world. That from the Vatican. Washington, Reuters, the deadly bombing in Oklahoma City of America's heartland stunned the nation. We are a very open society with very little limitation on movement of people and goods. We should get used to the fact that terrorism is with us and hope that law enforcement authorities will prevent as much of it as possible. Clinton proposed counterterrorism bill would let the United States deport illegal immigrants based for the first time on evidence known only to the government. The Omnibus Counterterrorism Act of 1995, now before the Senate Judiciary Committee, would also ban fundraising in the United States for groups the president deems dangerous and grant the FBI broader power to wiretap. FBI Director Louis Freeh told Congress that he needed new tools and resources to respond to a changing threat. He said state-sponsored guerrillas of previous decades were giving way to more decentralized groups which are harder to combat. Admiral William Stedman, acting director of the Central Intelligence Agency, said in a recent congressional hearing that urban guerrillas were shifting from hostage-taking and hijacking to indiscriminate slaughter of innocent men, women, and children. He said the CIA had recorded 321 of what he called international terrorist incidents in the world in 1994. Nobody was concerned about it until it hit Oklahoma City. You could kill 5 million people in Cambodia and nobody cares. So don't fall for this crap. This is aimed at the Bill of Rights. And no patriot did it. No militia did it. We know who did it. And you know in your heart who did it. And you can see how it is being handled. And you can see what is coming. In fact, if I have to tell you what is coming, then you're blind as bat and just as stupid. And maybe you deserve it. I told you that they would first hit at Islamic fundamentalists and then the investigation would swing and point directly at patriots and militia. The first arrested were three Middle Eastern men being held by the Immigration and Naturalization Service. They didn't do anything. Milwaukee. The United States is likely to see more violence of the kind that struck Oklahoma City, the acting head of the CIA said Thursday, and he should know, and I'm telling you, he's right. Washington. Republican congressional leaders said Thursday they were ready to work with President Clinton to pass tough anti-terrorist legislation in the wake of the Oklahoma City bombing. The Senate stands ready to work closely with the administration to pass the toughest and most effective anti-terrorist bill at the earliest possible time. Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole, Republican, Kansas, said, "You voted for him. I didn't." The vehicle used in the Oklahoma City bombing was a rented Ryder truck, CNN reported on Thursday. With bomb scares reported from New York to Texas to the Boston subway, jitters born of the Oklahoma City bomb blast rippled across the United States on Thursday, along with efforts to tighten security. For the first time since the 1991 Gulf War, roadblocks, extra security guards, metal detectors, and bomb-sniffing dogs appeared at federal buildings, airports, border crossings, and military bases nationwide. At least 15 federal buildings scattered across the country, including facilities in Houston, Boston, and Auburn, Washington, were briefly evacuated after receiving copycat bomb threats. A Brooklyn man was arrested after threatening to blow up a Sun jet flight early Thursday morning. In Boston, a false bomb scare prompted police to evacuate the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority underground stations and trains for more than an hour. In New York, more police than usual were guarding government buildings and landmarks after Mayor Rudolph Giuliani put the city on heightened security. The busy International Arrivals building at New York's Kennedy Airport was evacuated briefly so the bomb squad could check unclaimed baggage. White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta, named by President Clinton to coordinate the government response to the blast, said, "You cannot allow these kinds of unconscionable acts of terrorism to occur. We've issued directives out to something like 8,000 federal facilities across the country that now involve a heightened level of security. Here in Washington, as well as New York City, they're on maximum security conditions, and with regard to the other areas, they're all on heightened alert," he said. There's 50 states. Why did he say Washington and New York City? Police in Washington reported a surge of bomb threats. Late in the day, after most of its 5,000 employees went home, the Washington headquarters of the U.S. Department of Agriculture was evacuated as law enforcement officials and bomb-sniffing dogs searched the building after a bomb threat. Police cordoned off traffic on Independence Avenue, snarling rush hour traffic heading to the Virginia suburbs. Traffic reporters in Washington with the heaviest concentration of federal workers reported the flow to work appeared to be normal, suggesting that few were scared off. Parents continued to drop their children at daycare facilities. Public fears of further terror bombings in the United States are running high. What's running high is the media. They're running amok. They've lost their mind. They are nothing but propaganda avenues and puke-faced traitors for Marxist socialism, and they are in the process of destroying this nation. an ABC poll of 445. Let me back up here. An ABC poll of 545 adults conducted by telephone Thursday said 78% expressed worry there will be more major terrorist attacks in the country. The poll, with a margin of error of 5 percent points, found majority support for extraordinary measures to suppress terrorism. 59% said they are willing to give up some of the liberties we have in this country in order to crack down on terrorism. Did I tell you or what? And no, I'm not embarrassed at all to say it. I told you so. I've been telling you for years. If you don't like it, turn off your radio, because I'm not going to stop. From London, is it the approaching millennium? The Oklahoma City bombing and gas attacks in Japan, blamed by some on religious cults, are stirring fears that as the year 2000 draws near, apocalypse cults will become more extreme. Guns, religious fundamentalists, constitutionists, patriots. Yokohama, a poison gas attack sent Japan into a panic for the third time Friday. You think this is a coincidence? When are you going to wake up? How much does it take to get something stirring between your ears? Are you going to be like the Jews and the Gypsies and the Poles and the Blacks and the Christians in Germany? Are you going to continue to say, oh, nothing's going on, the government wouldn't hurt us? Are you going to continue until you're rounded up and sent to some socialist labor camp because you don't fit in with their concept of how your mind is supposed to work in the New World Order? Is that what it's going to take before you wake up? Look around you. This is not the United States of America. Not at all. And that is not a constitutional Republican government in Washington, D.C., nor in most states of the several states. There is not much time left. Continue to recruit for your militias. Continue to prepare. Continue to arm yourselves. Continue to teach your children and your neighbors the truth about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the principles and ideals upon which this country was based. Continue to call liars liars and traitors traitors. And don't stop and don't be afraid to do it. There's only one list, and we're already on it. And unless you are willing to die in slavery, then you'd better be willing to die for liberty. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, I've always told you this, and I will continue. Militias must be formed legally under the law. You must not ever allow any criminal activity. You cannot engage in racism of any type whatsoever. You can never fire the first shot, for whoever fires the first shot loses the war, not the battle, loses the war. They're in the process of attempting to propagandize the American people to believe that patriots bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City. No patriot would ever attack this nation. That's what the word patriot means. And remember, the nation is not Bill Clinton or Janet Reno. It is the Constitution for the United States of America and the first 10 amendments. Continue to form militias. Protect your leaders. Remember the order given by the commanding general of the Second Continental Army of the Republic and carry that order out. Counteract all of the propaganda and tell the people of America the truth. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn off your radio until exactly the top of the hour. And God bless you all.
4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in the great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what the militia is all about. That is what patriotism is all about. And that is what the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights protects. And don't you ever forget it.